Welcome back to Guys Gabbin' Gridiron, everybody. Once again, I'm Josh McSwain, joined by AJ Torres, talking to you about a very interesting week four. We had a lot of really good games, lots of things to talk about. First thing comes to mind is this whole mess in Miami regarding Tua Tagovailoa and the doctors in the middle of all that. It was just so strange. And after that hit against the Bills, where it looked like he was staggering a little bit, I was surprised he was even back in the game. Then he took another big hit against the Bengals. This whole situation just seems really messed up. He's obviously not going to return this week. We already know that. I'm questioning if he will return at all this season, of course. I'm not sure anybody really knows. But after that, the Dolphins' offense was not the same. Teddy Bridgewater is capable as a quarterback, but this team obviously does not have the same type of firepower without Tua in the lineup. So, what do you make of this whole situation, and how will this impact the Dolphins going forward?
I don't want to try and make too much fact from the fancy here, but I think most importantly, the thing that gets me is they had a doctor that was not employed by the NFL be fired, and they did not
Right.
release his name. So the fact that they didn't release his name, I kind of grow a little scary, kind of skeptical about that. But it is clarified and not sure if it's confirmed, but the rumor is that he sustained two concussions in 2 days. And we don't want to play worst case scenario, but we know how concussions work up to a certain point. There's still so much we don't know about. There are many people that are saying this was potentially fatal. So if you go by the hit, the hit's clean. It's just the whiplash is what gets you. And you look at him on the ground wiggling his fingers, you get a little queasy.
Yeah. Wow, I'd never heard the fatal part. I was just like, I was really surprised. Didn't know how to react for a second.
There's a concussion doctor that recommends Tua to retire and not play the game of football again.
Okay, that was actually also suggested in a Tuscaloosa newspaper column as well.
It's just insane because, everywhere you go, even some of these people, even the guys that were like, oh, when men were men, the fact that everyone kind of just looked at him and they're just like, did you see his fingers? Did you see this and that? Did you, e even the old heads that don't pay attention to science and medicine, they've kind of shut up the last couple of days, which is surprising because that's very hard to do. It just is. Going
Right.
forward, I will say this. If you saw Teddy Bridgewater come through out of the huddle, and it's very hard to take over a ship after that just happened for anybody.
Correct.
But he throws a good ball. Now
He does.
we know Teddy Bridgewater. I feel bad because if you go by the systems he's been in, Jets, Saints for cup of coffee, Broncos, Panthers. Three of those four organizations really aren't great the last couple of years. I'm ruling out the Saints
Right.
there, but if you look at Jets, garbage, Panthers, mediocre at best, Broncos, you mean after Peyton Manning retired? Yeah, try again. No. If you look at the Dolphins, this is probably the most complete team he's ever played on. The arm strength is
Potentially.
there. The experience is there. So for those who have stock, especially fantasy, if you have a Tyreek Hill, a Jalen Waddle, I can't really say Gesicki because he hasn't shown much, but primarily those two, I think you're going to see a little bit more. I'm not sure about the deep ball, but I will say The Teddy Bridgewater football doesn't have the flutter that Tua's ball does. Not saying Tua's bad, but I see a lot of flutter in some throws, particularly the deep ball where some were picked off on Thursday night last week.
Right. But looking at them, I still think they can get to about 10 wins and they could still snatch a wild card spot.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, the Jets aren't a slouch team, and
No.
they're just not. I mean, but at the end of the day, a win against the Jets is doable. It's a good way to start off. It's like,
Would be.
hey, Teddy, get a little revenge for them trading you away and not believing in you. So win a football game and let's get some confidence in you. Let's start off on a bare foot. Win for two until he comes back.
That's fair. Anyways, with the Bengals, does this mean that the Bengals are back now?
You know, I never wrote them off. And it's simply because that division, I mean, you saw, I mean, Kenny Pickett's run the ship now, and he did not
Yes, he
have the
is.
most, he didn't have the most amazing debut. You saw
No, he
John
didn't.
Harb, you saw John Harbaugh. You know, that was the fifth game in a row at home that he blew an insane lead. And I'm sorry. The decision, not you said, oh, I believe in my defense. Really? Great. So you believe in your defense enough for you to kick with Justin Tucker, the best kicker in the NFL by a long shot, and say, hey, defense, can you hold them? And if you can't hold them, get him to a field goal so we could push this into overtime. I'm sorry, but John Harbaugh, decisions like that, if this does not go well for you this year, both you and Greg Roman are going to be on the unemployment line because it was the same thing last year, and the same thing keeps on going. Bad play calls, bad, huge coaching decisions in big moments. There's a lot of lost games, and that was an easy one right there. You kick the field goal, they kick the field goal, and you have to do what's best from there. You have to play the game. He gambled with it. He lost big time. It's fourth and goal. And what happens? Lamar Jackson has no choice but to throw it away and turn over on downs. They march down the field from about the 5 yard line into field goal range to kick it away for you to be sent back to the locker room in disgrace. Unacceptable. With
Right.
decisions like this, this is why the Bengals are still in it. We don't know what the Browns are. They've been surprising us. Then Baltimore kicks their own ass. And then the Steelers, well, just kind of like Cleveland now, we have no idea what they are. So for the Bengals to get second place in this division or even win it, now statistically, it says, hey, 0-2 start, yada, yada, yada. But there's an exception of your division sucking.
It's true. Yeah, writing them off might have been a bit harsh. It's just that, yeah, after an 0-2 start, people were wondering what was wrong with them. But I mean, they lost two games by 3 points, and you still had Joe Burrow leading them back at the very end. It's just the offensive line needs a little bit more time to gel, but they still have as much talent as anybody in that division, I would say. Baltimore, known for their defense, doesn't have it anymore. They're an offensive team now, which is hard to fathom, but it's the truth at this point. And then the
Also,
Browns are just a mystery, like you've said. Obviously, great running attack, quarterback that can manage the game well, defense that looks great at times and looks not great at others.
if you want to believe in Cincinnati, you can't believe in just Ja'Marr Chase anymore because if you looked at that Jet game, he got held to 35 yards.
Correct. That
That just
Cincy
shows.
attack has a lot of weapons, though. You can't double Chase and double Tyler Boyd at the same time. And Boyd's shown that he can make a lot of plays. Even Hayden Hurst is coming on from the tight end position now, which I just don't know how teams are going to be able to defend all the players that Cincinnati has. That is a very lethal offense. And they have an upcoming match in Baltimore this week, but we'll get to that later. So continuing on, we had two games in the state of Texas. We had the Cowboys running over the Commanders like we both expected. Not sure if I have anything else to add. It went basically how I thought it would.
Basically.
Yep. Chargers beat the Texans in a fairly high-scoring game, 34-24. Mills has not looked as good so far this year. Threw two more interceptions. Justin Herbert certainly looked a lot better, throwing for 342 yards. No picks in this game. But Damian Pierce, can we appreciate him for a second? 131 yards on the ground, touchdown. Really did well against the Bears, too. This guy is going to be really good.
Damian Pierce, I was actually against the Texans taking him just because I thought he was going to get creamed by with the offensive line being subpar, but that man's a beast. He really is. Also appreciation of Austin Eckler finally having the game that we know he's capable of. He's been underused, and every single time that it seems that your running game, where if it's running the ball or using him to dink and dunk, is just out of the way, it seems to really bite the Chargers. And again, it was a much-needed win for Justin Herbert because, as everyone's starting to say it, everyone loves Justin Herbert. They go, oh, the arm talent. Oh, he's playing with bad ribs, XYZ, yada, yada, yada. Well, just kind of like Philip Rivers when he was in his prime, it doesn't matter how good you think he is, he's still got to win games.
Mm-hmm.
And Herbert, that was a much-needed game because if he lost that game, I can't defend him anymore. Chiefs fan or not Chiefs fan. If he did not win that game, I just would have to not be able to defend him anymore. It's just business.
Fair enough. Moving on, your Chiefs. They got the better of the Buccaneers, 41-31. Mahomes just tore them up in the first half.
Revenge game. I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Much needed.
Yep.
I don't care who was available or who wasn't available. I saw Mahomes dance around that pass rush, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as one of those guys where you have no idea if he's going to give you amazing stuff or if he's going to give you something mid or mediocre. But Clyde helped out that night.
That he did. Brady threw for 385 yards. Meanwhile, Rashad White was their leading rusher with 6 yards. Tampa Bay's offense is entirely one-dimensional, and well, their offensive line is not the greatest. They did have Donovan Smith back from injury at left tackle, so you got great bookend tackles. But your interior line is meh, to say the least.
Too many injuries.
That there is.
A lot of injuries this year, and they're not being talked about.
Yep. Of course, I don't think I could go without saying this. Brady might have come back looking for one more ring this season. Looks like he's lost one, though, with the whole drama with him and Giselle. I mean, I'm not there. No one knows the entirety of the situation. I always felt like, what? Why come back? What does he have to do anymore?
Well, again,
he's won it all. He's got all the records. Is he just simply an addict and he can't get off the drug that is playing the game?
Well, I told you this. He retired. He signed a 10-year contract, with Fox Sports?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So he's a workaholic. And, you know, everyone, the joke is, it's like, The man just hates his family. Giselle's wanted him to retire for the last 6 years. He's like, sorry, not doing it. Signs a 10-year deal for a sports contract. Heck, Cole Beasley today announced his retirement and he says, it's time for me to be a full-time father. And here's Tom Brady. It's like, hey, Brady, you kiss your kids on the mouth, but you hate being home. I don't get it. You hate being home, but you kiss your kids on the mouth in public. You can't do both. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Wonderful husband and father. Right. I also got a bridge to sell somebody in Manhattan. Starting bid, 800 grand.
Well, we are done with the TMZ portion of the program. We'll keep moving on with week four. Vikings get a victory over the Andy Dalton Saints.
Also, just to make note, it was very interesting for the fans in England because what happened in the last few minutes of that game? How convenient for the last three scores to be ending with kicks.
Indeed. 60-yard field goal from Will Lutz tied it up. Then Greg Joseph wins it with a 47-yarder.
And that double doink at the end. And the crowd goes wild for tea time.
Indeed. There were
Dang.
a slew of close games. Well, the aforementioned Browns fell to the Falcons by 3 points. The surprising Falcons now 2-2. You
Yeah.
think Myles Garrett would have made an impact on this game? Potentially, Browns could have won with him.
First off, I remember seeing the report, and this was on a Monday that it was him being in this accident where he avoided an animal on the road. And I'm sorry, but as a gearhead, how bad was the road wet for the Porsche, a sports car, one of the best sports cars in the world, meant to handle those things? How did that flip over like it's a scene from James Bond? I don't get it. But either way, it took him all the way until Saturday to say he will be out for this game. And I'm like, if this guy is healthy, I identify him legally as a tank because he's not human, he's all machine. Do I think that he would affect this game? Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, I just don't think the Atlanta offensive line is great. Clowney's been banged up. And without two of your best pass rushers going after the quarterback, that's a different ball game. Myles Garrett affects every single game. It doesn't matter if he puts up any tackles or sacks. You know what he does day in and day out. I think that's a bronze game if he plays.
Yeah, I certainly had some doubts about it, but if I say it here, I usually stick with it. So there we go. You had Rashad Penny, who had himself a day as the Seahawks took down the Fighting Dan Campbells 48-45. Detroit offense is good. Detroit defense, not so good.
But still, the fact that that's the highest scoring game all year and might be the highest scoring game all year.
Could be. Kind of hopes a game passes it, but it will be a little difficult, I admit. Moving on, Derrick Henry looks like he's back as the Titans took care of the Colts. And Jonathan Taylor once again looked hampered, and he will miss Thursday's game in Denver. The Giants took care of the Bears as Daniel Jones continued to show that he is good afoot, but struggles through the air.
I was actually just thinking about that, right? And I'm like, they call him Danny Wheels. You let
I think we
Danny.
do. I'm not sure if anybody else does.
I think there's other people that have called him that, but ironically, they let Danny Wheels score on them twice. Now, I wrote Darnell Mooney off, although he had more yardage that game than he had all year. But it is such a it's such a shame because Justin Fields, his stock is to plummet down so badly where if you've invested in him, you might as well keep on to it for namesake because it's that low. He does him and that offense just does not look good. They look lost. They look pitiful. Now, even though I think Dable's a great coach, and it's shown because this Giants team has completely turned around, and the only roster change that was really made was Blake Martinez had to go because of salary cap hell. But that regardless, this team just looks great. It really does. I'm These Giant fans have already exceeded expectations. And I don't see this team going in a backwards direction anytime soon.
Well, I think I'm gonna have to see a little bit more against some better competition. I mean, the Titans with the struggling offense that they had. That was a close call. Then you nipped the Baker Mayfield Panthers. Now you beat Justin Fields, another struggling quarterback. I'm not ready to go that far yet. Meanwhile, a team that I am all in on is Philadelphia Eagles, who are the only undefeated team left in the league. They took down the Jaguars 29-21, and that game, the running attack of Philadelphia just looks unstoppable. Jags fought hard, but in the end, the Eagles just showed why. They are probably best team in the league right now, but
And it was
it's early.
some hard rain during that game too.
Yeah.
You
Might be the
look at
best right
that
now, but it's
team,
still early October.
but you look at that team right now, and you look at how they are in the locker room. That team just looks special. Right now, that team looks special. Now, is there more competition to come? Yes. But I'll leave on that for now. We got a couple more things to go over here.
Definitely. So now the situation in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett has been let out of the cage. Do you think that the Steelers need to keep him in regardless of how he performs the rest of the year? Personally, I do. I think you spent a high pick on this guy. You know what you're going to get with Trubisky. Just let Pickett get the experience, even if you sink to the bottom of this division. You got to place your faith in the guy that you picked to be your next franchise quarterback.
I mean, I think there's no rush at the moment. And let's be honest, the secondary of the Jets is really good and not exactly something you want putting a rookie quarterback for at the moment. Because if you haven't noticed, Joyner, Sauce, and everybody else is going to make you pay, which they did.
Yes, they will.
I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table, but I think it's going to be a slow and steady process. I mean, yes, he's a first round pick, but we shall see. Because at the end of the day, there's another rookie quarterback that performed better than he did, and he was a much lower pick.
Yep, we're going to get to that one. Well, we can just get into it right now. Bailey Zapp nearly got a win at Lambeau Field in a game that I had the Packers in Eliminator on. That was a close one.
It shouldn't have been that close. And
No.
I'm sorry, but the Packers, what did you think that you like were okay to fall asleep? I mean, I'm just saying that defense kept Brady in check a week prior. But this game, you had Bailey Zappi Because, okay, so hold on. You had a third string and rookie quarterback make it competitive. I understand you go, oh, I didn't see the film on him, this and that. It's inexcusable. That defense held Tom Brady to under two scores. How are you
Yep.
going to let that game be so close? How is that almost a tie?
Yep, truly perplexing on that one. Should have been a blowout, but I digress. Meanwhile, the Bills and Ravens game, do you think that game told you more about the Bills or more about the Ravens?
Jordan Poyer just came back. I wasn't sure if he was going to go to the IR. And he got two picks. He was on my bench.
Bummer.
I know. Pain. The thing is that got to me about the Ravens is it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how much of a lead you are. The trend is you're choking at home. And the guy who's given the order, he's screwing up. I think this is much to tell about the Ravens because I'm sorry, your head coach cannot leave wins on the table. He cannot leave points on the table. Listen, they always say go for points, go for points. This isn't going for it on fourth down when it's fourth and inches. He decided to go fourth and goal in the quick couple minute drill. He failed and he goes, "Hey, the defense, that's kind of tired. I got faith in them." The defense all year has been a little shaky, as much as I hate to admit it. You're gonna trust them when they're winded in the fourth quarter to stop Josh Allen, a potential MVP candidate. That's all of it's wrong. All you go for the points every time and you hope and pray that it works. There's no way around it. There's no other way around it.
Perhaps. I think this game told us more about the Bills because it told me that the defense that they have, even if they're missing some of their top players, they can still shut down one of the most explosive offenses in the league. Leslie Frazier is just doing a masterful job, and I feel like the defense is going to be just as important if they make a Super Bowl run as Allen will be. I mean, I know that Allen's going to be shouldering so much of the load because their running attack is very mediocre, but that Bills defense, look out. That said, the pass rush is a little bit confusing to me. They got seven sacks in the opening win at the Rams. They only have six in three games since. Greg Russo has four so far this season. With Von Miller, I thought, they were going to have a few more sacks, but, I guess just hasn't happened yet. That's
Well,
something to keep an eye on, though they are still top five in the league.
that's because of the Rams look like garbage, and Matt Stafford spent a lot of time on his back. Matt Stafford with a crap line, and I'm sorry, for a team that only lost one wide receiver and one linebacker, you could call him pass rusher, that team, well, they lost Whitworth. I digress. But that's still most of the team they had the year prior. And they look just so lost. They look lost. And the two wins that they've had was, in my opinion, against mediocre teams.
Oh,
The
yeah.
Bills stomp all over them like stairs, and for good reason.
Right. On that note, yeah, the 49ers also got seven sacks Monday night, and I'll be honest, the Rams don't even look like a playoff team right now. Just look really bad.
They do not. And
But
again,
obviously, a lot of football left.
Jimmy Good.
And Debo Samuel also very good.
Yes, that one play was ridiculous.
That it was. But anyways, let's move on to picks for week five, starting once again with the Thursday matchup. Got the Colts at the Broncos. No Jonathan Taylor, no Javonte Williams, who was knocked out for the season in Vegas. I'm still going with the Broncos at home.
For the Peyton Manning Bowl, I hate saying this, but give me Broncos. I hate saying it.
This week's London matchup, we got the Giants and the Packers.
Give me the Packers.
Same. Next up, Steelers at the Bills.
Ooh. I got to go Bills on this one because I think Kenny Pickett is going to be thrown to the Wolves for another great defense.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not prepared for that Bills defense, particularly the secondary. And if one of those guys is healthy, watch out.
Right. I mean, 3 second-half interceptions. That's just not going to get it done.
I mean,
sorry.
I don't want to say Nate Peterman, but wow. Not exactly a great start. I like the kid. I'm not going to say it's because of his hand size he threw the picks, but it's still concerning. We hope it's the yips.
For sure. Moving on, we got the Chargers at the Browns.
Give me Chargers.
I'm actually going to go with the Browns. Bosa is going to be out for the next 2-3 months. Their run defense was already awful. I'll take Nick Chubb at home. Give me the Brownies.
Okay, fair.
Next up, NFC North Showdown, Chicago at Minnesota.
Ooh, give me Minnesota.
Yeah, Vikings for me as well. Next up, fighting Dan Campbell's go to take on the New England Patriots, quarterback unknown.
I think it's going to be Zappy, let's be honest. And
yeah, most likely.
I'll go Detroit.
This one has been so hard for me.
Same. Yeah,
on one hand, you got Matt Patricia, who knows a lot of Detroit players very well, tried to make the team in his own image. You also have Bill Belichick on this side. Detroit's defense is so bad. I think Zapp could have another great game. I'm going to go with New England, though. I could see it going either way.
True.
Next up, we got Seattle in the Superdome against New Orleans.
Who do you think is going to be starting? Is it going to be Dalton again, or is Jameis going to be all right?
I think it's going to be Dalton.
All right. Fair enough. Because Geno Smith is so hot, give me the Seahawks.
Yeah, this one is a tough one, I admit. I don't think that Rashad Penny is going to have the same type of day that he had last week.
Oh, absolutely not.
And, you know, Dalton is solid enough. Just think, going back to the Superdome, they know what they got to do. I'm going to go with the Saints, but barely.
Understandable.
Next up, Dolphins at the Jets.
I'm going to take Dolphins on this one.
This was a tough one. I went back and forth on. The Jets have won 2 games on the road coming back. Meanwhile, they've been trounced twice at home. I think Bridgewater is a solid replacement quarterback. But Breece Hall is really looking good right now. I'm going Jets, but I admit I'm hesitant about it.
Breece Hall is great. Only problem is he's got to protect the football a little better.
Right.
Only complaint I have. But I think this is really going to be a quarterback versus quarterback thing. Zach Wilson, yeah, he played a good game. Yeah, he avoided a couple of tackles, but I just think pound for pound, the Miami defense is more healthy than the Steelers team. And it still poses as a threat. That secondary as a whole, I still think it's could. I think that's going to cause trouble. The weapons for the Jets have been better. That wide receiver core is good, especially Corey Davis, who everybody wrote off. But right. I just don't like this one, man. I just don't. Give me Dolphins here. I'm very skeptical, but that's who I'm going with.
Yep, should be an interesting game regardless. Next up, we got an NFC South showdown, Atlanta at Tampa Bay.
That's a Tampa game.
I would agree. Though Brady was listed on the injury report, he missed practice Wednesday with thumb and shoulder issues, I believe. He's still going to play. We all have seen this song and dance before.
Too many times.
Yeah, Bucks. Next up, we got the Titans at the Commanders.
Commanders look like hell. Give me the Titans.
Yeah, pretty much I agree. Next up, Texans at the Jaguars.
Jaguars.
Yep, no victory so far for the Texans. They've swept this series 4 years in a row, but not this time. I gotta go Jags as well.
Watch out for that running back duo, though, as well. Those two might come big against Houston.
Possibly. Next up, the 49ers go across the country to take on the Panthers.
I think Baker Mayfield isn't ready for that defense. Give me the Niners.
I'm going Niners as well. How likely do you think it is Matt Rhule gets canned after this game?
You know, first head coach to be fired this year, 5 games in. I mean, I called for his firing to be sometime during the season. Not sure if he makes it to Black Monday this year. I think it's going to be a couple more games, personally, so I'm going to go no, but would it shock me? Absolutely not.
Yeah, it might go 30%.
But my thought is, if it's a close game, then you can fire him. If it's a game where on paper you look at him, you're like, ah, good luck. No.
All right. Moving on, the Cowboys go to L.A. to take on the Rams. Who do you got in this one?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going Cowboys.
Me too. I mean, with what we've seen so far, the Cowboys get after quarterbacks, and the Rams cannot stop you from getting after their quarterback. Cooper Rush gets the job done. I mean, also, I wonder how much that elbow is affecting Matthew Stafford.
I don't think it's...
I mean, the line is bad, but I think the elbow is also a factor here.
You know, I don't think it's the elbow personally. And I don't think if they... I'm not going to say tank job, and plus it's not like baseball where you got to throw 100 times every day you go out there. So my real thought is if you look at the offense, if they're not handing the ball off every single time he doesn't see Cooper Kupp, it's like, is Kupp open? No. Is Hurst open? No. And by the time that he can't even think, he's already driven into the ground. If Micah Parsons is healthy, if he finds another weapon to give him some space, well, once again, just like week one, Mr. Matthew, you're going to be very acquainted and you're going to be a lot of, doing a lot of work on your back. But again, this Rams team looks like hell. I understand Jalen Ramsey, is looking good. I understand that Kupp is looking well. But if you just go by the production on both sides of the field, they just kind of looked lost. They look like they don't have the identity and the same spark they did.
It's true. So, yeah, we're in agreement on that one. Next up, we got a battle of the birds as the undefeated Eagles go to Arizona.
I don't want to sound repetitive here, but I'm going Eagles, and that's simply because if you look at the habits that the Cardinals have, this is all jokes aside. I'm not going to mention any K1 jokes or FaZe Clan or Call of Duty, anything else. Here's one thing that Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray have failed to do so far this year. They have not played a good first half. If you're going to be playing against the Eagles, a team where they look like they have the best chemistry, firing off on all cylinders, and you just look at everywhere from the starting roster to the rotation guys, the backups, they look fully complete. And if you think that they're going to just be like, oh, yeah, we're going to make it 14 or 17 and nothing, we're going to blow them out in the second half. This isn't the team where you do that to. This team is not the Raiders.
Correct.
They're going to stomp all over you. The Cardinals got big problems, and I understand that they're still waiting for D-Hop to get back. And I'm not sure if you heard that J.J. Watt has had his heart fibrillated.
Yes, I did.
I know I butchered that tongue twister, but the fact that he had his heart jumped, that's such will and determination. God bless him. I just think Arizona has too much trouble to get over this. They have so many internal things to work on.
Right, that seems fair. My thing is, you're going across the country, and the Eagles better not be caught looking ahead to the Cowboys. If they do, they're going to lose this game, but I think that they aren't going to do that, and I think they'll take it. Next up, we got the Sunday night matchup with the Bengals at the Ravens.
Well, are the Ravens really going to blow another game at home? Hesitant still, but give me the Bengals.
I'm going with the Bengals as well, just because Joe Burrow torched them last year for 500 yards. Not sure he's going to get quite that many this time, but he'll still get a lot. So I got the Bengals taking this game. And then lastly, we got Monday Night Football as the Raiders go to Kansas City.
Always look forward to those. Two primetime games back to back at that. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, I got Chiefs as well.
I will say, though, I'm a big believer in Max Crosby. Whew. That line has a lot of work to do that game. The offensive line has a lot of work to do. And if you're the Chiefs, L'Jarius Sneed looks like he is the new stud in that coverage unit. But I'm looking around. I don't care if you've been here for a long time or no time. I don't care who it is, Juan Thornhill, everybody. You are letting too many guys just go through. There's so many things that I see wrong. Like when a guy is catching a ball in the end zone, why are you trying to tackle him? Why don't you swat down the ball? Why don't you get it out of his hands, swat it away, try and intercept it? the coverage needs to be worked on. I thought they were going to struggle stopping the run. No. Against heavy gunslinging offenses, they need to be better. It's almost like they're afraid. And unless Derek Carr chokes, he's going to make us pay. Matt Collins, who did good Miami. Let's see, between him, Adams, we're still going to see if Renfro is healthy or not, and Darren Waller. This team's got a lot to look out for.
Definitely. Well, that wraps it up for me. Any final thoughts?
There's a couple of teams I'm wondering where do they stand. And as you've said before, would the first head coach be fired essentially after week five? Well, if we look down the list, there's a lot of good and bad 2-2 teams. For example, the Patriots are 1-3, as are the Lions. But then you look at the Bears and you go, how'd you get 2 wins again? Especially since some were weather permitted.
Right.
After this week, there's going to be a couple of things to learn. But there's many problems that have arisen early, and there's some teams that just haven't fully adjusted. The Giants, you've adjusted. The Chiefs, you adjusted. If you're going to the Bears, trend in the right direction, but look yourself in the mirror and see the problem in front of you. And if you didn't hear about the Colts, apparently Jim Irsay is very frustrated with the general manager and head coach.
I can imagine that.
Considering the last 5 years, your quarterback carousel has been a playground. The guy behind center for the Colts and a win-now team is just rotating, like people going in and out of a porta potty. Come on. He wants better. He wants stability. And better yet, Matt Ryan's not winning. They're disrespecting Matt Ryan so much that they're not even putting him in the pictures that say, hey, this guy, this quarterback of this team is facing Matt Ryan. No, they're saying they're facing Jonathan Taylor, which is a big slap in the face to Matt Ryan, but it just shows you what they think about him. They don't think highly of him, and it's ashamed.
Definitely. Well, as a reminder, everybody, you can find us on Twitter, Guys Gabbin Gridiron. Our episodes are now on YouTube and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And on behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.